Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Jefferson's State of Mind, recorded last week.
It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. It most certainly does. This is Terry Raposa here with my partner, Wynn Carpenter.
Good morning.
And Travis, our faithful producer, the Hat Man.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
We're here. This is Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live.
And Frankie, our Sergeant of Arms. Thank you, Frankie.
Frankie Rose. Frankie Rose. What would we do without Frankie Rose?
We'd be in trouble.
He's the man.
He keeps us in line.
He does. Frank does. When we come in here, we get the top news right off the get-go.
Yep.
He always has to kind of take me by the arm and slow me down a little bit. But
he does.
He does. But
he gets you there.
Thank you, Frankie. You're our treasure, buddy.
He's patient.
No one else can have you but us and the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Anyway, we are here broadcasting live from KCNR, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better.
Always, unless there's an issue with it on the mountain with the tower or something crazy.
1460 AM right down here in downtown Reading. If you have a question or a comment, phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And how many of you have watched the Red, White, and Blueprint?
I have.
Episode 1. It's amazing. If you've watched that, you can feel free to call in here and comment on that. It was quite an amazing little event we had on Friday night where it was shown, and there was a lot of people there.
It was unveiled nicely.
And it was so well done. I mean, I can't – Jeremy Edwards and the music alone, I mean, it just brilliance to it. It everything sort of encapsulates the scenery. The message is incredible.
The quality of the footage and incredible. Everything that they did. They put a lot of work into that.
Incredible. So
Great team of people doing all that. Great team.
Yeah, hats off to them. And I think we're going to have Mark Baird calling in here in a while. Is Mark already there? Oh, okay. Well, I think we're going to have Mark Baird calling in. There has been a decision on a reversal on Young versus Hawaii, which was a Second Amendment court case about the right of open carry. And anyway, so hopefully he'll be calling in. I know he's got a busy morning. He's got a speaking engagement this afternoon, so I know he's got a busy morning, but hopefully he'll call in. Anyway, getting back to the Red, White, and Blueprint, a lot of people were there. We even had our congressman there.
We did.
And he was there observing. Not there for opinion, but nope. There to observe, because his citizens had a redress of grievances, and he watched it like he should. And it was great. And, of course, Brenda Haynes was there, and she's a marvelous lady who's been fighting for this county for years and years and years and years. What a marvelous lady she is. So,
well, it was nice, too, because then with the congressman being there as our representative, being there when something like this rolls out is important because then he sees it firsthand. He understands firsthand what's going on. He hears it firsthand from the people who developed it and created this document and are going to continue doing this series. He's hearing it. He was able to talk to everybody in the room that wanted to speak to him, and believe me, most people did. And it was good. He got to hear things. He got to ask questions. And that was the best thing for all of us because he's hearing it firsthand what's going on. So when he does go back to D.C. and he gets stopped in the halls of Congress and they are saying what the heck is going on out there, he can speak firsthand to it. That's how it's supposed to be done. You do your homework. You're there when things are rolled out. And then guess what? You get to hear what's going on, and then you can share it with others out there. So that's a very good thing for everybody involved. So that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, hats off.
If it's only worth a quarter of 2 cents.
anyway, it was remarkable. We've got thousands and thousands of hits already, and we've been sending it out all over the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it out to my friend John Age of Anomic Age in South Carolina, who does a great program, podcast.
The moment that it went rolled out, it was sent to Washington, D.C. I know that firsthand because I'm the one that sent it there. So I just want everybody to understand, you know, what we're doing here. We have contacts all over. And so, like I said, the moment it rolled out and it was free to be shared, I did that. And so, as well as all the other contacts I have, I sent it out. So we're just making sure that we're sharing everything out there, just so everybody else can form their own personal opinion. It's about your own personal opinion, your ideas, your thoughts, and where we are.
You know, the thing that's really neat about that too is when you look at the people who are standing up here in California, especially Northern California, pretty much in Northern California, is we look at the people of Jefferson and we look at the people of the state. They're all standing for liberty. They want their counties back. They understand that we have to take this back. Local government, first of all, and it has to be done there, as it was done in the times of early in this nation. I think the important thing is to realize that this message that we're sending out in California has an interesting dynamic to it. The Vice President of the United States is, well, probably soon to be president, because I'm not sure that Biden is going to be able to figure out, you know, anything, how to put two words together. But that would be Kamala Harris. She's from what state? California. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, from what state? California. Becerra, who is the Director of Health and Human Services, and he was an attorney general. What experience does he have in health and human services? From California.
Well, that depends on if he's part of the trafficking ring. If he's part of the trafficking ring, then he's probably got a lot right there, just on the trafficking component alone.
Oy.
Well, hey, you got to look at it from all angles. You can't look at it from, you cannot be in the box when you're looking at these things.
Yeah.
You have to be outside the box looking at everything that we're dealing with.
Yeah, you're
outside the box.
Absolutely. And then we have Obama, who's bought property now in California. So, folks, this is the battleground.
Is he neighbors to Oprah now?
Forgot about Oprah.
Yeah. How could you forget about her? Yeah,
the unofficial Secretary of State of the United States.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you know, you look at this stuff and you really, I mean, you've got to scratch your head and wonder, you know, how this battle that we have in the state, this battle we have for America, you know, where do we draw the line and who can draw the line? And that's why, you know, hopefully
you can.
If Mark gets the opportunity to call in, that'd be great. Again, it's the kind of thing where hopefully we can be talking about what happened in the Ninth Circuit in-bank decision, which means that they all got together and decided, well, you know, we don't really like the decision we made. We don't like the decision that open carry is the only protected right under the Second Amendment. We're going to change that to say open carry is not a right at all. Never has been a right. There's no right to open carry. So, you know, the right to bear arms, I guess bear means what? Bear it under your coat? I don't know. Or just bear it.
Means
bear,
to carry it. Means to carry guys. It. Carry it.
Does it?
Be in the possession of. Carry it.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Wow.
Own it freely.
You figured that out yourself.
No, I didn't. Somebody else told me. Somebody else told me, yeah.
Somebody
else far brighter
like
than I am.
1787?
Yeah. A bunch of young guys back then.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I think we're going to go off to an early break here. So we're going to go off to that right now, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about who can defend us from all this. And, the question has been, is there such a thing as a constitutional sheriff? Well, is there such a thing? I know that
somewhere.
Well, there is. California is a little tougher for them. We'll explain that when we get back. So time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
You know the bed feels warmer sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color. Do the things I want. You think you got the best of me? Think you've had the last laugh? Bet you think.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Jefferson State of Mind, recorded last week.
All righty. Thank you, Sally. Sally's in a rocking mood today.
Make you strong.
She's in a rocking mood.
But she's got a girlfriend, Jenny, with her, so they're always in trouble doing something special.
Yeah. Well, we have a caller on the line, Steve. How you doing, Steve? What say you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
very simply, it says in the Second Amendment, shall not be infringed.
Yep.
Very simple. Shall not be infringed.
Yep.
So the people put the Constitution together back in the day when the colonies were here and they were not getting... The dictatorships were starting to take over into individual little colonies that were happening back in before, like in the 1600s. They found out that they had to have a common goal, a common ground for people to stand on, and that was Christianity and God. And through the moral standards of the people, they came up with the Constitution. And the Constitution was made by the people. The people are the power. The power elects the person who looks out for the people is the sheriff. He protects the Constitution for the people of his county. The people elect. The people are the power. It's really very, very simple. Black and white, no gray, no administrative law, only constitutional law.
Hey, Steve, let me ask you a question on that. Let me just ask you a question. The sheriff takes an oath to the California Constitution, too. And I want to take you through a quick scenario, if I may, just real quick. First of all, I'm going to go buy a gun. I go down to buy a gun. When I buy that gun, I pay some money. I wait 20 days for them to do a background check. This is California now. And I'm not talking about any other state, California. So then 20 days later, I come over, I pick up my gun, I sign something else. I have to take the gun home in a locked box and have that separated from the ammunition that I bought for my gun in another spot in my car. I get accosted on the way home by a criminal, and this criminal is going to accost me. And I say, well, wait just a second, because I live in California. I'm going to go to the back of my car. I'm going to open up my case. I'm going to take my gun out. And then hang on a minute, stand right there, and I'm going to walk to my glove compartment or below my glove compartment, because I don't think you can keep your ammo in there, and take the ammo out and load it, and then you stand right there, and I'll defend myself. That's number one. Number two, the next thing that happens is you say, okay, well, I have a Second Amendment right here in California. However, I have to ask the sheriff, first of all, if I can even carry my weapon. Well, I know I can, but I have to have it in a locked case. Or I can get a permit, a CCW, to conceal that weapon, and I have to get a permit. So I go and I take a class. I pay money for the class. I take a test. I get the concealed carry if he decides to issue it to me. Because remember, the sheriff is now giving you a privilege, not a right. It's a privilege to have a CCW. Okay, so I get this CCW, and I have that. Well, let's say, you know, I go outside and it's hot and I stretch and I lift up and all of a sudden my gun is showing. Now the gun is being revealed, so now I'm in violation of the law because I'm open carrying. But wait, in the state of California, if you're in a county of under 200,000, you can adequately get an open carry permit, 26150B2. You can get an open carry permit from the sheriff. But wait, the sheriffs in California don't issue those because, wait, Article 5, Section 13, the Attorney General would have to issue that information, have to issue that particular paperwork. Well, guess what? There is no paperwork. Henceforth, Mark Baird has a court case about that. The very fact that you can't even get paperwork, that's part of his court case, for a privilege of open carrying. Okay, so we're still in California. So when the sheriff of California, who has to uphold the California Constitution because he took an oath, has to uphold that, and there is nothing in the Constitution that says anything about a sheriff. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have constitutional sheriffs, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't stand behind them, and that's the main key that I think Mark Baird was talking about. What happens is that he has all these other laws he has to enforce. Now, are they legal, even though they're law? Probably not, because not all things that are law are legal, and not all things that are legal are lawful. So what do we go back to? We go back to the Constitution. That's the people standing behind the sheriff saying, hey, no matter what, there's 100, there's 200 of us here, we're going to back you, give us our Second Amendment, or help us enforce our Second Amendment rights. Now, because of all these hurdles in California, it gives us a unique situation. And I think that's sort of the nutshell of this whole thing, is it isn't a matter of, I mean, who doesn't want a constitutional sheriff? All of us do. They do have authority when it comes to federally working with somebody. They have to have a memorandum of understanding. So they have to have an MOU if you're the Forest Service or anybody else and you're working with in the county from the sheriff. But other than that, these guys are between a rock and a hard place. So that's the reality of California and why it's silly to say, well, we're going to have a sanctuary Second Amendment county in California. You can't because of all the laws that are in the way. You can't. Well, you can overturn those laws, but you have to use the Constitution of California to overturn those laws. Article 18, Section 3, which would be going in and saying, hey, we're going to have an initiative saying, you know what? You can't do that anymore. The Second Amendment is the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment, but we haven't done that as a state yet. So that's kind of the thing I think we've been trying to explain in a nutshell.
Well, that's where we're at.
Yes, that's where we're at. Yep.
You know, I don't abide by any of that administrative law. I am a Vietnam combat veteran.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with trying to live in this world after you come back from war is living in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are now. Administrative law is anything that they say that they want to do at the moment. The constitutional law is what we enacted in for our country to make our country free. That's what I live by, period. No one will infringe on my rights.
Well,
no one.
It's too bad there isn't. Too bad there isn't 100,000 people that stand with you. And maybe there is. I don't know. Did you get a chance to see the red, white, and blue print yet? Did you get a chance to see that?
No, I haven't. But
I really
commend you all on that. That is going to pull the counties together. The 23 counties we have for the state of Jefferson. That's going to pull us together. We can start fighting as a force. And more power to you and Wynn and all you guys on your radio station. I love it. I listen to it every day, every Sunday. So thanks very much, you all, for being here.
Thanks, Steve, and have
thanks,
a great
Steve.
Day, brother. Have a great day. Also, this basically, it isn't just for the 23 counties of the state of Jefferson. I mean, it is, but Jefferson.
Yeah.
But it's the other counties, too. I mean, Orange County. I mean, there's a bunch of patriots in Orange County. There's patriots in San Bernardino County. There's patriots everywhere. And the thing is it's the patriots everywhere.
There might be one in San Francisco County.
Yeah, Travis is kind of going,
maybe not.
But you know, the thing is that all of us have to do this together. You know, I envision, frankly, the state of Jefferson, Northern Jefferson, Southern Jefferson, and I keep saying it, maybe the state of Madison.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Madison is the father of the Constitution. That'd be a great name for a state. But when I talk to my good friend Carlos Zapata, he seems to think that we should divide this into four states.
Sure.
Which, that might make some sense, because
absolutely.
When you look at that. But
those counties need to divide how they see fit.
Yes, sir.
Yes. That's the way it needs to happen all the way around, because then it's the people doing the work to get it done.
So I think the idea of a constitutional sheriff, as romantic as that sounds, isn't really reality in California unless, as Steve said, and he's right, unless we stand behind our sheriff. And then you have to have the sheriff who has the stones to do it. But I know every sheriff I've talked to that is still a sheriff, you know, and even a couple that aren't anymore, you know, their position is, okay, well, you know, I swore an oath to the California Constitution. And with the Attorney General in Article 5, Section 13, being the chief law enforcement officer in the state, that was amended November 5th, 1974. So what happened is that they said, okay, well, you know, he's the one who, you know, one of the things is that he can make a sheriff abide by the law as the law is written. Now, does the sheriff want to? Will the sheriff do that? You know, there's two ways to look at that. Some people say, well, you know, the attorney general looks at that and says, well, you know, okay, this is law, you know, and I'm going to make sure you enforce real law. Well, you know, in the attorney general's mind, whether he's really left or whether he's right or whether he's in the middle in his political ideology, it's all going to depend on what he thinks that says. The challenge is that the attorney general should not be in the county, the chief law enforcement officer of the land. He yeah. should not be, of the county, rather. And so that's kind of the issue there. You can take the interpretation both ways. But if, you know, in the mind of the attorney general, you know, having open carry or concealed carry or even a firearm by a citizen who's not in law enforcement or anything like that, in his mind could be, well, this is what this means. See, that's the challenge, is that they throw the opinion. It even says in that, it says in there, the opinion.
The opinion.
Opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe everybody's missing that word, but that's an important word. In the opinion.
Every word means something.
Exactly. Of the attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you want to say or think that means or whatever that position is, no, because it says in his opinion. So if it was something like Becerra, I mean, he'd take them all away, you know?
Yep.
And, oh, yeah, that's right. He's He is now our
HHS.
He is, and we have Mark Baird on the line. Mark, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Mark.
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing
okay,
better than we
deserve. So far. Tell us a little bit about this in-bank decision by the Ninth Circuit on Young versus Hawaii.
Well, it's kind of an interesting case. George Young wanted to his daughter. George retired from the service, and he moved back to Hawaii, and he was living with his daughter, and she's since passed away. And he said, well, I'm going to start carrying, and she said, oh, you can't carry here. And he says, oh, sure you can. She said, no, you can't. So he decided to find out, and he tried to carry, and he was denied a permit. He tried to get an open carry permit, and he was denied that permit. So he wanted to demonstrate to his daughter that the Constitution is the law of the land, and the Second Amendment is an enumerated right. So he sued the state of Hawaii. Well, he lost in the district court, but then he went to the Ninth Circuit Court, and what he said was is that the state of Hawaii has banned the Second Amendment. You can't get a concealed carry permit. They never issue them. And the only time they ever issued open carry permits was to armed guards who had their guard certificate training. They would give them an open carry permit only when they were at work, only when they were in uniform, and so on and so forth. And so George Case went to the Ninth Circuit Court, and he had been pro se. In other words, he acted as his own lawyer. And then finally, when he got to the Ninth Circuit, Alan Beck agreed to represent him, which was very generous, because Alan did it for nothing, and he won. The three-judge panel voted 2-1. That the state of Hawaii had banned the Second Amendment and that was unconstitutional. So we were in good shape there, and my lawsuit was directly stemmed from that, because there's a case, Chambers versus United States, that says any case that's binding in the Ninth Circuit is also binding on every single federal judge in this district of California and the Ninth Circuit District Court. So I sued the state of California because California has also banned the Second Amendment legislatively through Penal Code 25850, 26400, and 26350. They do allow open carry under Penal Code 26155B2. However, no such permit has ever been issued, and Department of Justice doesn't even give out the paperwork to these sheriffs
right.
for anyone that would issue one, but none of them ever have anyway.
Right.
So, you know, that was my lawsuit. Well, the Ninth Circuit, whenever it's funny, an in-bank review is extremely rare in most circuits. It's even more rare than the Supreme Court accepting a case for cert and for review in the United States Supreme Court. In-bank review is almost never done. But in the Ninth Circuit, Second Amendment cases are always reviewed in bank. Well, ask yourself, why would a case ever be reviewed in bank? That's because the chief magistrate wants to overturn it because he, an unelected bureaucrat, appointed by someone sometime in the past, maybe long ago, doesn't like it, and he doesn't like you having your liberty, and so he's going to take it from you. So he gets a bunch of friendly judges, they look at the case, and then they overturn it. And that's what happened to George's case. When George won his case, all of us had the right to open carry, which we have in the Second Amendment, is very clear on that anyway. But these judges overturned that case because they don't want you to have the right to defend yourself, even though they, as the government, have no duty and no responsibility to protect you, and you can't even sue them for failing to protect you. It's called qualified immunity. So the result of that is we had the right to open carry until the stay was granted, and then a year later the in-bank happens, and 6 months later the decision is published, and we lost again. Alan, I'm sure, will take this to the United States Supreme Court, but since our case has a different spin...
Now, your case, you want to tell the folks what your case is, buddy?
Well, our case is Baird versus Becerra, which is a challenge to the state of California because California has legislatively banned the Second Amendment. Now, the Ninth Circuit said you don't have a right to carry a gun in public. You don't. You don't have a right to conceal it. That's a permission. And you don't have the right to carry it openly. So the Ninth Circuit has also banned the Second Amendment. However, the California legislature has given permission, which, and I hate that word, but we're going with it because it works for our case, permission to openly carry a loaded weapon in counties with less than 200,000 people, provided your sheriff grants you a mother may I slip. Well, the Department of Justice, which is a bureaucratic body, unelected, has decided that they won't issue the paperwork so that counties who might issue these permits can do it. And so an unelected bunch of bureaucrats has stopped the legislative process and usurped legislative power in order to deny Californians the ability to defend themselves in public places. And also, the legislature is acting unconstitutionally because even though they allow these permits, it's only in counties with less than 200,000 people. Mm-hmm. So if you live in a more crowded county, you're being discriminated against. And we love the word discrimination in California now. Everybody's discriminated against. We can't have that. We have to have inclusion. So counties with more than 200,000 people have to be included in this because it's discriminatory to say that I might have the right to protect myself in public with a firearm, but you who live in Los Angeles County or Santa Clara County or one of the other big places don't. Just by virtue, through no fault of your own, but by virtue of the fact that there are too many people there. And that is a disqualifier. Even though no crime has been committed, you're not prohibited from possessing or using a weapon for any other reason except you have too many neighbors. Well, that's clearly unconstitutional, and we're going to prove it. And we're marching forward to regain some of the liberty that we have squandered through our inactivity and our inaction and our inattention and our failure to stop these people when they were doing these things. And I'm trying to regain some of that liberty so that the people of Jefferson can turn to the rest of the state and say, this is what freedom looks like, and if you want some, help us.
Yeah, that's. We're going to have to go off to a break, Mark. Can you stay with us? Because there's a couple more questions that Wynn and I have for you. Can you stay with us, brother?
Sure.
Great. Okay, well, with that, we're going to go off to a break, and we'll be back with Mark Baird. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Every time I think about it, I won't cry. guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Jefferson's State of Mind, recorded last week.
Stand and deliver. You let them put the fear on you. Stand and deliver. Not a word you heard is true. And if there's nothing you can say, there may be nothing you can do.
Nice song.
Amen. I like that.
Good job, hey. Sally.
Hey, before we get too far into the weeds here, I need to announce an event that's going to be happening on, it's a Freedom Rally, actually, a Freedom Rally happening on Saturday, April 17th from 3 to 5 p.m. down in Orland, which is Glynn County, at the I-5 Cafe Conference Room. Again, at the I-5 Cafe in their conference room. And the speaker is going to be none other than Terry Raposa. And he's going to be talking about Jefferson and all the other constitutional and civil rights issues that we need to make sure we're taking back and getting under control. And it's all about taking your freedom back. And so we want to make sure we let everybody down that area know that's going to be happening. We'd like to have a little packed house there. That'd be nice to do.
Yeah, and also Mike Ware will be speaking at that. He's the young man who was in Washington, D.C., who's famous for flying the
Jefferson flag.
Yeah. Drove there, what they drive, 48 hours straight or something?
Something 50 crazy. 50
hours straight,
yeah.
To get there. And
yep.
Mike owns Ware Farms, wonderful patriot. Brianne Lowe, who is the Republican women's president in Glynn County. What a great young patriot she is. And the nice thing is we've got a lot of these young people that are coming forward. But we have Mark Barrett on the line. And, Mark, I have a couple of questions for you because you really nailed it.
Go ahead.
You nailed some really good things there, especially, you know, you're talking about the separation of powers. I mean, how can a court all of a sudden say, well, gee whiz, you know, this is a legislative position, both the Second Amendment and both the way that it's law can only be made by the legislative body. Yet, as you said, and rightfully so, the court now is saying, wait a second, you know, this is our power. We're going to change this thing. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, they call it judicial review. And as a former peace officer, I just want people to understand there's more lying that goes on in court than any place on earth. And these judges intentionally misread the law. They intentionally misread case law. Because it's extremely clear, and all you have to do is look at one date, April of 1975, to see that public carry of a loaded weapon is perfectly permissible, and yet they reach back into 13th century English law in order to try to demonstrate, and they misread that statute intentionally to say that the King of England prohibited people from riding about with weapons. But they didn't read the whole thing, they didn't read the whole thing on purpose, because that law very specifically states, in order to terrorize people, the king banned the open carry of weapons if you had the intent of terrorizing people with those weapons. They misread early colonial law, because some states had prohibitions on openly carrying weapons with the intent to terrorize. And if they caught someone doing that, it was a misdemeanor. They did not lose their right to carry the weapon. They simply had to post a bond, a monetary bond, which they would lose if they used their weapons just running around terrorizing people, being bullies, basically, and brandishing. Brandishing is already a crime. No one should brandish. I don't advocate that. Never have, never will. But none of these people who even wrote about terrorizing people lost their ability to carry their weapon for self-defense. They simply got fined for using their weapon to scare people unnecessarily. So this court lied. They lied intentionally. They misread Heller intentionally. In other words, you can't just carry any weapon anytime in any place. Well, what Heller was specifically referring to was firearms that were prohibited by NFA, and I disagree with that too, but that's what they said, and also concealed carry, which has been recognized through the last 100 or so years to be a permission and not a right. But open carry certainly is a right. It is your right to carry a weapon, in my opinion, in any fashion, form, or place that you see fit in order to defend yourself from conflict with another human being. And so that's what our lawsuit alleges. We have the Fourth Amendment right, the usury and possessory right to lawfully purchase property being used for lawful purposes, that we should be able to carry that property any darn way we want to. Ladies, if you are going out to dinner and you have your gun in your holster and it's raining and you put on a raincoat, have you hidden your weapon or are you just trying to stay dry? And those are some of the allegations we make in court. And we have about 16 causes of action where the state has not only erred but acted seditiously and unconstitutionally in order to prevent you from defending yourself, your family, and your community from harm. And you're the only one that's responsible to do that, because the government has no responsibility to protect you, none whatsoever.
Absolutely correct. We have Jimmy on the line. Jimmy, when two people are on the lines here and we have two lines open, you've got to speak up a little bit, buddy, just because, not because of you, just the phone system. So shoot away, my friend.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's good. Shoot away.
Okay, great. Hey, just real quick, I've called in about this subject before, and I'm talking about Arizona gun laws here. Now, our rights have been whittled away so slowly that we forget what rights we really do have. So in Arizona, and I've talked to a state trooper before, he said that if you're 21 and over, you do not need a concealed carry permit. If you're 18 years or older and you're qualified, you can open carry. So if you're 18 years old, you can open carry in Arizona. If you're 21 and over, you do not need a concealed weapons permit. Although he said you should get, it might be a good idea to get one, but you do not need one because of Arizona constitutional law. And us people here in California, we've been, through attrition, our gun rights have been whittled away so slowly, but in a constant, whittle away. I don't know how to phrase that, but we have lost our rights and we don't even realize it. So, folks, wake up. This is totally stupid.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, quick
question. Fans and all that stuff. Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy. Quick question. Is it Arizona having it to be 18 because you can serve in the military at 18. Do you think there's a connection to that?
I would imagine so. That makes common sense, which I mean, California doesn't have. But I did post on the chat room.
Yeah, you're accountable to law as an adult at 18 for most things. So if you're accountable to law and you can serve in the military without your parents' signature, you know, allowing you to go and serve at 18, and you can do all kinds of things at 18, you can buy a house, you can buy a car, you can do all these other things, you're considered an adult, so then you should be able to carry at 18, correct?
That makes common sense to
me, Lynn. That's the way I'm interpreting what they wrote or what they have.
So I will be going back to Arizona shortly here, and I'll talk to some more law enforcement guys and get some more in-depth comments. But I remember asking this state trooper, and I said, does it bother you when people open carry? Because apparently Basanko said that it makes his officers nervous. And I could tell he almost rolled his eyes, and he was all, no. We want people to open carry. We want people to conceal carry because that sends a message to the criminals that people are armed and can defend themselves. Now, one more quick question. I know you got to go to break. Do you think the homicide rate in Arizona is higher than the homicide rate in California or Chicago or any of those other big states? And I'll leave you guys to it. Have a good day.
You bet.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Mark, you know, I know we've talked about this before, the difference between the states, you know, and a lot of people have talked about a constitutional sheriff here. And with your court case that you have, Baird versus Becerra, and of course Becerra, was the attorney general here in California. Now he's what? The head of the
HHS,
Health and Human Services. I mean, the guy became a doctor overnight. Would he stay at a Holiday Inn? Anyway, Mark, what say you on that subject?
What do you mean about Becerra or just what Jimmy was talking
Well,
about?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the idea of this being a case that you're using the state of California, everything has been usurped here. So I guess the question there is that where do you think we can go with this, and what's the latest information we have on your case, and tell us how we can help you. Go ahead.
Well, where can we go from here? We can demand our liberty back, and we could not take no for an answer.
Yes.
Where we can go from here. Let me tell you, if Christians and gun owners would just go vote, we could take this state back in one election, just one.
We already did.
In the election, we could restore our liberty. If conservative Christians and gun owners would just get off their lazy backside and vote for conservative candidates and ask them questions first, where do you stand on liberty? Where do you stand on the enumerated rights? Because Jimmy said we lost our rights slowly. Well, I got to tell you, that champion of liberty, Ronald Reagan, stripped us of the right to open carry in 1967, and nobody said a word because the NRA helped him. I mean, you know, I don't know what more you need to know than that. And Dostoevsky said, after he spent 35 years in the gulag, we lost our freedom, and we didn't even know it. Well, I'll tell you what, we lost our freedom and we did know it and we didn't do anything about it, and you deserve what you get what you pay for, but it doesn't mean, and here's the good news, it doesn't mean you have to stay that way. We can take our liberty back right now, form militias, support this court case. We need, you know, we're about to refile the preliminary injunction. We have a real stand-up guy in the Southern District. And we're going to refile the preliminary injunction there, and then we're going to go to the Ninth Circuit with a preliminary injunction, and then we're going to go to the United States Supreme Court and see if we can't jump the line in the 15 gun cases that California's Ninth Circuit has held up for years and years and years, hoping that guys like me die before our case makes it to court. So I need money. This is, you know, this is not a cheap deal. My attorney works for very little, but she's not working for nothing. She has a family to support herself. So please help us show up to court. Contribute money if you can.
Where do people contribute money?
No.
Mark, where do they contribute money to?
Wynn has the address. It's to Pecan.
Yeah.
And I want people to understand, I don't see the money. I don't touch the money. I don't know. I don't even know what bank the money's in. The money goes to the 501c3. It is used to pay lawyers and lawyers only.
my traveling I do on my own dime, my yapping, my talking, my showing up, my flying places, all the work that I do on this, I do on my own nickel, because it is my mission to restore liberty for my friends and my family and the people of the state of Jefferson. That's coming out of my pocket. The only thing this money goes to, the only thing, is to the lawyer.
And Mark is correct. He has never seen the bank statements. He has no connection to the money whatsoever. And you can make a check out to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N, again, P-E-C-A-N, and then in the memo portion of the check, write 2A. That's all you have to write, or Second Amendment, either way, 2A or Second Amendment, and you can mail it to P.O. Box 751 Palisedro, P-A-L-O-C-E-D-R-O, California, 96073.
Now we've got...
And let me add one thing, if I can, Terry. Do I have
sure, of course.
Seconds?
Of course.
Okay, California's government code, Veterans Military Code, has a provision for disorganized militia. I urge everyone, join your local militia, because here's the link to the Second Amendment. The disorganized militia in the state of California has to be armed to operate. Well, how can you be armed if your county won't issue a concealed carry permit, and
good
no
question.
County will issue an open carry permit? And we're going to draw this into our case if we're able to amend the complaint. If we're not able to amend the complaint, we're still going to argue it. But you have the right as a veteran or a militia member to carry a weapon for defense of self and community, and that's stated in California's government code. So they're not only acting against the Constitution, they're acting against their own laws. So please, join the local militia. Mean it. Show up. Mean what you say and say what you mean, folks, because if you don't, we will lose our liberty and the communists will have taken over this nation, and they're very close to doing that right now.
We're talking with Mark Baird, who is the leader and founder of the state of Jefferson. And, Mark, you're going to be speaking today at an event. Can you talk about that a little bit and tell folks where it is and what's going on with that?
Well, it's in Live Oak, Glad Tidings Church, and it's recruitment for the local militia unit down there, I believe. And I'm going down there, and I'm not the big guy in this at all. I'm just hitching a ride with the guys who are really putting this together. And I don't want to seem important at this event because I play a minor role, but they've asked me to talk about the case and talk about the link to the Second Amendment, and it's very important. And you have the liberty given you by your God, as stated in the United States Constitution, the United States Declaration of Independence, and the California Constitution, Article 1, Section 1. You have the right given you pre-governmentally by your God to defend your lives and your property. And if you don't avail yourself of that right, shame on you.
Anyway, the event is at 1179 Eager Road. Mark, what time does it start?
I believe it starts. We're supposed to start driving down at noon, so it's after that sometime, probably 2:00, I'm guessing.
Anyway, thank you, brother. Anyway, we've been talking with Mark Baird, who is the founder of the state of Jefferson, the leader of the state of Jefferson, and his wife and I hope, and I think his wife does too, that he will be the first governor of Jefferson. I know I'll vote for him.
He's earned it.
All right, Kemosabe.
Thank you.
Drive
Mark.
Safe.
All right. God bless you. Talk to you later.
You too,
brother. Anyway, we have a caller on the line. David, sorry about that. We were just letting our guest finish up. What say you, David?
Hey, I'm just calling. I have a friend at work that listens to your station, and I was talking to him about what's going on in the country, and he was telling me how frustrated he was getting. And so I just kind of was explaining to him how I looked at what's going on as a blessing, and he told me to call you guys and kind of give you my idea.
Okay, you got a couple of minutes here, buddy. Shoot away.
Okay. Well, my thought was this is a blessing to us because we as a generation have a chance to do something no other generation has since the Revolutionary War, and that's to fight for our freedoms. I think... since the Revolutionary War, each generation has gotten further and further away from what it's about, what it was fought for, to the point, and subsequently, each generation has lost more and more of their freedom.
Right.
We don't have as much as our parents, Our children don't have as much as us. Mm-hmm. And I think God's given us this chance, woke us up and said, hey, look, you guys can still make this work. You just got to play your roles, follow my blueprint, and everything's going to be fine. And I think people out there need to know that. They need to know that this is going to work. We can make it work. We have a chance, opportunity to do something extraordinary here, and we need to embrace it.
You're absolutely right.
I think you're right. I think the thing is that we've been educating forever. You know, here we go, and we educate. Now's the time for action. And I suggest everybody watch the episode, first episode of the Red, White, and Blueprint. I mean, you talk about people that have stepped up. They're just marvelous, marvelous, marvelous people. And it's all of us. We have to take this back, as David's saying, one county at a time. And, yeah, you know, people say, well, you know, is it really the Christian thing to do to stand up against, you know, government that God put in place? Well, stop and think about it. The Bible clearly states that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego defied the ruler of the earth, which was Nebuchadnezzar, by not bowing to a golden statue. Are we going to bow to golden statues, or are we going to be in a position to thank God, respect God for the blessing he's given us for a free country, for a country that can honor him, for a country that has rights, for a country that has God-given rights, not constitutional rights? The Constitution's a line in the sand. The rights come from God. You know, I've always thought that when you talk about inalienable rights, I always kind of thought, well, you know, hey, that comes from God. So how can you be an atheist and believe in the Constitution or that you have inalienable rights? Well, it's kind of been something I've pondered. But I think that the main thing is we have to understand that now's the time to stand. Now's the time to stand up against tyranny. And that's what Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did. Jesus did in the temple.
And, David, you're absolutely right with the causes that everybody is fighting for now due to all the circumstances we've been up against for years, and it's just really coming to a head right now with this last year of this scandemic and all the stuff that's been going on with that. So that's really helped to awaken people that something isn't right, but they didn't know what it was because they were ignorant. I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm just saying they're ignorant to the facts of their liberties and their rights, and now they're learning, and they're learning steadfastly. A lot of people are learning very quickly and understanding now, getting a better grasp on what's going on and what should be going on, and their lost liberties and for their kids. So they're really working hard now to get things understood and starting to form groups and organizations and taking action. It does no good to learn all this stuff without taking action. You absolutely 100% have to take action. No two ways about it. There has to be action taken. And if action is supporting financially an organization or group by throwing a 10 spot or whatever, do that. If you're out collecting signatures, do that. Whatever it takes to get it done, to make this whole process come together. And it's not just individual little groups. It's a collection of all these little groups coming together under one umbrella for liberty. And that's what has to happen. It absolutely has to happen that way. And we're working that way right now. So we welcome anybody and everybody that wants to come on board. This going to be a brother and sister in arms with fighting for liberty. Absolutely.
And, David, we're going to have to leave it there. But feel free to call in next week, brother. No problem at all. It's just that we're really short of time. We start the program at 9, and it's 9:59:01:02:03. I'm watching the little clock here.
But real quick, I think the key is to educate our children and our grandchildren.
Absolutely.
Agreed. And let's talk about that next week. Feel free to call in, my friend.
You're right.
Definitely.
All right. Well,
thanks for having me.
Thanks, David.
Thank you. All right, guys. Well, you know, we're winding down the program. Another hour's gone by like that.
Like crazy.
And so hopefully we can we need you folks. We need you folks to watch the Red, White, and Blueprint. You know, if you're down in the Glenn County area, we need you to come to that Freedom Rally Sunday, April the 17th at 3 o'clock. The I-5 Cafe. You can even eat something there.
There you go.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th and one of four energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WinRiver.com.